Okay, so I think we're ready to roll here.
Hebrews chapter 2, we're going to begin reading at verse number 6. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 6, it says, "One in a certain place testified, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels, thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for your son and the sacrifice he made on our behalf. And we just pray your blessing as we look into your word today. May you speak to each of us today and what we need to hear for what we're going through right now. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. And so as a church today, we celebrate our 11th anniversary, and certainly these are not the circumstances in which we hope to celebrate. We plan to have a big potluck meal and a cake and everything else. And we know that that's not something we can do right now, and that's okay. Because we can still celebrate. We have much to celebrate. God has been faithful to us as a church family throughout the years. And even in the midst of this time of pandemic, we know that he's with us, and he's going to see us through to the other side, as he always has. And really, God, more than anything else, is what we celebrate. He ultimately is the reason that we celebrate, reason why we exist as a church. In a few weeks, of course, we're going to have Easter Sunday, and that's a time in which we're going to celebrate the most important event in the history of this world. And we look forward to that, and we're going to be building up towards that in the next few weeks, even if we do still have to do it online. At the same time, we are continuing in our thought for this year, a vision that we began with in January, that we would have in the year 2020, that we would have 2020 spiritual vision. That God would open our eyes so that we could see. Now, more than ever, we need to see the world through the eyes of faith. That really, I think, is the only way we're going to keep hope and peace through this time. What we see in front of us is not always very encouraging. And if we dwell upon it, it can lead us to fear and despair. And so we need to raise our gaze. We need to look up. We need to see that God is concerned about us, that he has a handle on the situation, even if we don't, and that he wants to help us. In our current situation, we might struggle to see that. Our question might be similar to the one found in verse number 6, where it says, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him?" This is a quote from Psalm chapter 8, which David was contemplating the greatness of the universe, and he was recognizing how small he was in comparison to all that. And that led him to ask this question of God. And I think in this time that we're in, we can be led to ask that question as well. This is a big world, and yet it's part of an even bigger universe. That there's 7 billion people on this planet right now, I think more than that. And so in that mass of humanity, we can feel like we're just a very small grain of sand. And of course, when we think of the universe itself, how small the earth is in comparison to the greatness of the universe, we can feel pretty insignificant in the grand scheme of things. And so as big as this universe is, we might think God is oblivious to our situation here on earth. We doubt that he's thinking of us. We doubt that he's willing to visit us. And then that idea of visiting has the idea to step into our situation in mercy, to deliver us from the trouble that we've gotten ourselves into as a human race. And we realize that God could really, and for good reason, be reluctant to step in Because really, as a human race, we've been doing everything we can in the last few decades to push God as far out of our lives as we can. And we could think, because we've turned our back on God, that God's turned his back on us, and he's just going to allow us to destroy ourselves. But we know that's not at all the God that he is. He knows what is going on right now in each of our lives. He cares deeply. His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. And that is what is so amazing, that even though he is so big and we are so small, and even though we turn our back on him and pursue paths of self-destruction, he cares enough to help, and he can bring deliverance as we turn back to him. We see in verses 7 and 8 what theologically we refer to as the law of double reference in work. And what that is that you have a passage where it has kind of two people that it's referring to at the same time. We see with this passage, especially as it's given originally in Psalm chapter 8, that it's primarily speaking of mankind, that God has made each of us a little lower than the angels. He has crowned us with glory and honor. He has set us to have dominion over his creation. But nevertheless, we realize, especially from this passage in Hebrews, that it is also speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was God, but became flesh, who was made a little lower than the angels, just like us. And so the passage in Psalm 8, with this passage quotes, is therefore both a statement of mankind as a whole, and a prophetic statement of Jesus Christ in particular. And it talks here of everything being in subjection under him. To put it simply, the idea that he's in charge, that he's in control. And we see in Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 to 8, that speaks of Jesus, who was in the form of God, that he was God himself, equal with the Father. But it says that he made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. He became like you or I, and being found fashioned as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And he went through that, but then we see the next verses. It says, wherefore God hath also highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And so, as we read this, just as in Hebrews chapter 2, this is not something that we see right now. People aren't bowing the knee to Jesus. They aren't confessing him as God. People are continuing to rebel against God and his laws. People are continuing to mistreat their fellow man. And people are continuing to do all manner of evil in defiance of God. We wish in many ways that Jesus was on the throne of this world right now, that he would have the wisdom to know what to do to get us out of this terrible mess that we're in. He is the great physician who could heal us all. We read in Malachi chapter 4 how it prophetically refers to Jesus as the Son of Righteousness, and that he would arise with healing in his wings. And we don't see that right now in this present evil world. Fewer and fewer people are acknowledging God exists, let alone asking him to come and help us. And Satan, the prince of this world, continues to deceive mankind and drive it to defy and deny the only one who can truly help us. He wants to see as many precious lives perish from this earth without any hope for eternity he can. So in such a situation that we're in today, what are we to do? Must we despair as we see the situation unfolding around us? Should we lose hope? No, absolutely not. But how can we have hope in these troublesome times? Again, we need to raise our gaze. Through the eyes of faith, we need to see Jesus. What do I mean? We need to see Jesus for who he is, for what he has done for us. We need to see him as he is, in our present situation. As we approach Easter Sunday, I'll be fleshing this all out in future messages, but I wanted to give you the basic gist in the time we have together this morning. So first, we want to see Jesus for who he is. So if you're watching this morning, and you may have never really heard or understood much about Jesus, you might think that Jesus is just an obscure historical figure who lived on the other side of the globe 2,000 years ago. You might think he was a unique individual, he was a great teacher, but he was just a man. He lived and he died, and any thought of him helping us now in our current situation might to you seem ridiculous. However, by faith we recognize Jesus to be much more than just a man. He was God come in the flesh. He was deity taking on a human form. Those that were close to him testify he was much more than a man. We see the Apostle John refer to him as the Word in the first chapter of his Gospel, John chapter 1. Speaking of the Lord Jesus, he says, being was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And we see that he speaks of Jesus in this way. We see as well what it says in verse 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so, it's that thought that he saw him and recognized him to be the one that came from heaven, the one that was God and became man. And we think about it, John and the other disciples, they saw the miracles that Jesus did, whether it was feeding the 5,000, whether it was healing the sick, whether it was raising the dead, or calming the storm. And when that happened, they asked, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? That they knew that he was different. And we see kind of this concluding statement of John in John 20, verses 30 and 31, where he says this. He says, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. And so we see that what John saw, he wanted to share with us, that this is the Son of God, and as we believe on him, we can have life through his name. And so Jesus was the Son of God, and he became man. And why did he do that? Why did he leave the glories of heaven? Verse 9 of Hebrews chapter 2 gives us the reason. That he said he was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. And so we want to understand that, and this brings us to seeing what Jesus has done for us, that he was born to die, that he looked down from heaven, he saw us destroying ourselves by our sins, and instead of leaving us to our own devices, he stepped into history. And he went to the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. He died for us so that we, by faith, can live through him. We read of this further down in that same chapter, verses 14 and 15. And it says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And so through his death, he destroyed the power of death. He freed us from the bondage of sin and death. John 3:16 declares, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That all of us have a universal problem, sin, for which Jesus Christ is a universal solution. All of us are sinners, and all of us are condemned by our sins to spend an eternity in hell apart from God. All of us are guilty before God, and no amount of good works we can do can wash away our sins. But yet God, in his love, sent his Son to die in our place, to take our penalty so that we wouldn't have to perish. And as we believe on him and what he did for us on the cross, we can be saved from our sins and have hope for eternity. And so during this time that we're going through right now, I'm praying hard that people won't get sick, that those who do will recover fully, and that the doctors will find a cure for this awful disease as quickly as possible. know that all of us are going to die someday, and we all need to be ready to face eternity. And so if you know Jesus as your Savior today, if you've trusted in Him, your eternity is forever settled, and you don't have to be afraid in this time even of death itself. And if that's not the case, I would urge you to come to Jesus today and get that settled. But as well as we're, of course, going to be celebrating on Easter Sunday, unlike any other man that ever lived, Jesus' story did not end with his death. And that is why I said we see Jesus for who he is, not simply for who he was. Because he died and he was buried, but on the third day, he rose again from the grave, proving forever that he was who he claimed to be, and conquering death forever. That he is not some historical figure that is long dead. That he himself testified in Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1 verse 18, he says, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. And that is the truth, that he lived. He was dead, but now he is raised from the dead, he is alive forevermore, and he has conquered death itself. And we rejoice in that. And we think that, of course, after his time on earth, he was with the disciples for 40 days after his resurrection, and then he ascended up into heaven. But he left with this promise that we see in John chapter 14, where he says, Let not your hearts be troubled, ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And so that's the hope that we have, that he's going to come back one day. And he's going to take all of us who have trusted him to the heavenly home that he has prepared for us. And so, listening to this, you might say, well, that's all nice to hear, but what does that have to do with our situation in the present? Perhaps he still seems very far away from you. But through the eyes of faith, I want you this morning to see him as he is. He is now ascended up to heaven, and he's seated on the right hand of the Father, and he's waiting till the time of his return. But yet we realize that he is not detached and disinterested in our plight here on earth, that he's not just twiddling his thumbs and ignoring our situation while he's waiting for his time to come back. And so, what is he doing right now at the right hand of God? That from the scriptures we recognize that he is making intercession for us, that he is praying for us, that he is advocating on our behalf before his Father's throne. That we read in Hebrews chapter 4 that it says that he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. And then it says in Hebrews 2 and verse 18, in that he has suffered being tempted, he is able also to succor them that are tempted. Now the word succor is not a word that we use too much anymore. And that's kind of a shame, because the word means to run to help. And that's the thing, is that he knows what we're going through. He's been through much of it himself. And he, having been tempted, he cares for us. And he wants to help us. And succor means that he wants to run to help to us, to give us the help that we need. And that is what Jesus wants to do and what he can do for us if we just ask him. Hebrews chapter 7. In verse 25, it says, Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. That he speaks on our behalf, that he intercedes for us, that he is there to help us, that he knows our struggles. He's gone through them himself, and he wants to help us, and he can help us. And so through this crazy time, when we're tempted to worry and despair, we can see through the eyes of faith. We can raise our gaze. We can, by faith, look into heaven itself and see Jesus looking right back at us in love. We know that he's praying for us. We know that he's sending his angels to strengthen and help us in our time of trial. And we know that he's calling us to come unto him and to hide under the shadow of his wings until this calamity be overpassed. That he is not far away and disinterested in our lives. Through all of this, he is there for us. He is ready to help, and he is mighty to save. I just wanted to share with you a story. This is one related by Robert Louis Stevenson, the author of such books as Kidnapped and Treasure Island. And apparently there was a storm that had caught a seafaring vessel off of a rocky coast, and the wind and the waves threatened to drive the boat into the rocks on the coast to its destruction. And in the midst of the terror, one daring passenger, contrary to orders, made his way across the ship, groping along a passageway and across the deck that he found the pilot house. And there he beheld an intriguing sight, that the ship's pilot, captain, was lashed to his post. And secure against the raging elements, he was holding the wheel fast and turning the ship inch by inch once more out to sea, away from threatening rocks. And as he was piloting the ship, he saw the movement of the man that had come to see him, and he looked over and he smiled at him. And so the passenger, of course, very carefully found his way below deck where the other passengers were huddled, and they were wondering what the report was. And he said this. He says, "I have seen the face of the pilot," and he smiled. "All is well." And so it's my prayer for you all, of you that are watching this today, that you would know Christ as your Savior, and that by faith you would see Jesus through all this time. That he wants to be a refuge for each of us in this time of trouble. He wants to be our pilot that will guide us through the storms of life to a place of safety, peace, and rest. If in this dark time we draw close to him, we can see his face smiling down on us, and we'll know everything is going to be okay. If we keep our eyes on him, we don't need to be afraid. We can rise above all of this in hope and peace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for what your son did for us, and we thank you for what he continues to do for us each day, Lord. We thank you that you are a God that is near, not a God that is far off. We thank you that you know us, you know our struggles, you know what we need. And we just pray this day that through the eyes of faith that we would not be focused on the struggles around us, but that we would look above and we would see your son and his great love for us, and that would give us strength and resiliency during this time. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we're going to sing one more song together.